I'm DOS Man, and when I'm not fighting with ninjas, I'm listening to Ninja Night School Radio.
This is Droops, and I listen to Ninja Night School Radio. Because seriously, the guy that does it is fucking crazy, and I love that. Oh, and he's sexy, hot ass, and all that goodness.
Snatch back your brain, zombie. Snatch it back and hold it.
Well, what do you think about when you're alone?
I think I want to get out of this rat hole. I want to get online. I need a computer.
I need a Synologic 60, Sogo 7 data gloves, a GPL stealth module, one Verdine intelligent translator, a Thompson iPhone.
He'll try to make a move. He'll use his connections on the net, narrow the bandwidth, go low rent.
He locked on him. He's using a Synologic 16 GPL stealth module. Crazy Bob's computer shop, 5326, Sutton Plaza, back room.
Initiate the virus.
9-6-1.
Better than a roller coaster.
Yes.
Riding through the mountains on a train.
The largest one.
Woo, a big locomotive. Elementary schools are insane. Zoom lenses and big tree jets. Ham hocks in the Jamaica.
The largest one.
4E Freedom Force.
Yes. Huh. It's getting hot. What you got?
I read off the phonetic symbols, nasal dripping, cut for grip. You gotta check it out on my microchip.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Somersault backflip. Super karate kick. Double back turn twist.
Stick it to your dreams, you got quite the collection.
I'm a ninja.
Hey, Crescent Fresh, y'all, and welcome to Ninja Night School. I am your host, Low Tech Mystic, and you, well, you, my friends, would be listening to Ninja Night School, episode number 6, being broadcast live into the time stream at 4:28 in the a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday morning, November 6th, 2005. Ninja Night School is a proud member of the podcast incubator family and can be located on the worldwide interweb at www.podcastincubator.com. You may contact the hidden dojo of knowledge that is Ninja Night School via email at nnsradio@walla.com. Ninja Night School may contain podcast ninjas. Therefore, ninja discretion is advised. Okay, and welcome y'all to my little podcast here on the interweb. And first off, I hope you guys enjoyed the new intro music theme song there for the show. It's been a couple days kind of just playing around with different music and whatnot, and that's kind of what I came up with. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And it'll probably be what we'll be sticking with for a while. So send me some feedback. Let me know what you guys think. One way or the other. You just don't really care at all. That's fine too. And speaking of theme music, today's show, episode number 6, instead of going more of a rant, we're going more of a research aspect, so to speak. And we're going to follow up from episode number 4 when I was talking about alternative energies and just thinking about the future of where we're going to be getting our energy from and what kind of reliable sources, where can we begin to look into and towards for reliable energy in our future. And while researching this question, I came across one quite possibly very viable answer, and I'd like to share it with you today. So, instead of a rant, we're going to go with more of a curiosity-led research, and we're going to play a little curiosity theme music. So bear with me, and we're going to cue that up.
I've got laser eyes, and I know what you're thinking. It comes as no surprise. Christmas lights are blinking. And I'm so curious, and I'm so curious, and I'm so curious.
Okay, so today, what I would like to talk about are solar chimneys, or as they're also known as solar towers. They started out being called solar chimneys, but because when you say chimney, you tend to think of something that produces smoke or fog or is unclean, people began to use the term tower instead, since a solar chimney produces no smoke or fog or any of that junk. And what is a solar chimney, you ask? Well, what is a solar tower? How does it work? My friends, well, grab yourself a cool brewski, perhaps maybe a tall glass of iced tea, light a smoke, and sit back, relax, and allow me to enlighten you. Solar chimneys use three basic systems that humans have used in various designs throughout our history. The first would be, of course, the chimney. The next would be the greenhouse. And then the last would be the windmill. And you take these three concepts and incorporate it all together into one system. And basically, you get something that looks like... Okay, I'm going to have links up on the site in the show notes. So there's going to be plenty of pictures and stuff to go up and check out too. But for those who can't get up to the site, for whatever reason, what could you visualize this would look like? Okay, well, picture something like a record with a empty toilet paper roll. Like, you know, little cardboard paper towel or cardboard toilet paper rolls that's at the end of a roll. Picture that on the center of a record. And that's pretty much what a solar chimney is going to look like. And you ask, well, now that I know what it looks like, I definitely need to know how this works. Well, okay. In your mind, doing the part that I described as the record, the big circular area, is actually the canopy area of the tower. And the principle of the solar chimney that it takes advantage of is the basic concept that hot air rises. So, if we build a tower, the air at the top of that tower is going to be considerably cooler than the air at the bottom of this tower. This is true. Now, if we build a skirt or a canopy along the bottom of this tower, and so if we're using our earlier visualization of the empty toilet paper roll as the tower, then this long skirt or canopy that would be what the record would be. And this would be the greenhouse aspect of the design. And this would be just one big circular roof. A glass roof, pretty much basically. With no walls, it's open from the outside. And this allows air to come in from underneath. And what the canopy is doing is it's heating up the ground and the air beneath the canopy even more than the air at ground level outside the canopy. And then we're going to bring in the third system, which is the windmill. And we're going to put turbines at the bottom of our tower. And what's going to happen is, since hot air naturally wants to rise, and we have this big chimney in the center of our skirt, what's going to happen is all this heated air is going to attempt to move upward through the chimney. So if we put some big turbines at the base of our tower, and as this hot air goes up through the tower, it will turn these turbines, and the turbines will turn, and therefore produce electricity. And I think this is pretty nifty. Along with being quite nifty, the solar chimneys, the solar towers, also work along the basic principle that during the daytime, the air is warmer than it is at the nighttime. And this is true majority of the time, depending on what climate, region, area of the planet that you're in, you know, mileage will vary. But most days, it's warmer during the day, colder at evening. So also, during the day, as the canopy heats the air, it also heats the ground beneath it. So in the evening, after the sun is set, the ground that is heated begins to release its heat in the form of warm air, which continues to power the solar chimney even in the middle of the night. So now we have a solar chimney that works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Wow, this is getting niftier by the second. So, as with anything, there are plenty of good things, and there are even some bad things about this. So let's discuss what some of these are real fast. Some of the really nice, good, convenient things is that all the materials needed in order to construct a solar chimney or solar tower are relatively common and found throughout the world. And these materials are basically consist of steel, concrete, and glass. So you don't need solar panels, which are expensive. You don't need direct sunlight. This is something that's going to work on an overcast day. It doesn't matter if it's not raining, not cloudy, not sunny, whatever. If it's warmer, it's going to work a large part of the time. Yes, and tonight we would like to remind our listeners that here at the hidden dojo that is Ninja Night School, it's 5 in the morning on Saturday night, and I'm drinking, and I'm recording a radio show. Danger. But anyway, picking you on before we just go totally off topic here. These towers have actually been built. They're not just concepts. They have been in working design for over 20 years now. The very first tower that was ever constructed was constructed in Spain in, let's see, Manzanares, Spain, and it was constructed by the German Federal Ministry for Research and Development, and was finished construction and connected to the grid in 1981 for its trial operation phase. And this trial operation phase lasted up until July of 1986. And then after its trial phase, it did so well that they continued its use, and it continued operation until February of 1989, when it was shut down. I don't know why it was shut down, but nevertheless it was, and successful running of the prototype led to two smaller scale demonstration plants being constructed in Sri Lanka. Now, this solar tower in Manzanares, Spain, the tower in the center was 200 meters high, and the collector roof, the canopy area, a circular area around the tower, was 46,000 meters in diameter. The tower was able to produce 50 kilowatts of energy in its use, production, insert proper term. I need an inebriation bot. Yeah, like a little droid to like sit on your shoulder when you can't find the right word because you're inebriated, and you just point at the robot and it insert proper term.
Yeah. But
anyway, Manzanares, Spain. Manzanares, Spain is for those those who care about where shit is. Geographically inclined is what that shit, I can't even. Manzanares, Spain is located in the area of Spain known as La Mancha. La Mancha is the breadbasket area of Spain. There are lots of windmills that take advantage of the air that comes down over the mountains. I think it's the ocean air that comes down over the mountains into Spain. And they grow a lot of wheat there in the La Mancha. And then they use all the windmills to grind all the grain down into flour and good stuff like that. And if you've read Don Quixote, you might be familiar with this. If you took Spanish, you might have had to do a report about it. And anyway, we're going to continue forward. Because along with this solar tower in Manzanares, Spain, which is no longer in operation, we have two smaller scale demonstration plants for demonstration uses only, I guess, in Sri Lanka. But now we have on the horizon, which is it's at the end of the planning and zoning stage, and is at the pre-construction phase, is plans for a tower to be built in Australia. And for those geographically inclined, the tower is to be built in Warringah. This is in the Wentworth Shire in New South Wales. This tower that they're wanting to build is going to be a 1 kilometer high tower. This will be by far the largest man-made structure ever built. To bust out a few quick numbers, the company that is doing this, their name is EnviroMission. I'll have links to them on the show notes. But on their homepage, which where the show notes will take you straight to the homepage, they've got a video. It's a link. It says, "View an artist rendition of the solar tower." It's 6.7 megabytes. I'm hitting the microphone. It's a Windows Media Format video. So, guys in Linux, I don't know, maybe you've got something, hopefully, that you can view this file with. It's worth watching. It's pretty cool. It's a little 3D animation and takes you all around the little solar tower and explains the basic concepts of how it works. It's a neat little video. But in the video, it's they also list out some numbers, and they're comparing the size of the solar tower they're wanting to build in Australia to different structures that are already built. And since it's in Australia, everything's in meters, not feet. So, and I'm not going to convert it. That's something for you guys to do. I'll meet you halfway. I'll bring you the numbers, and you can convert it if that's what you want to do. But the Eiffel Tower is 324 meters high. The Empire State Building, it's 449 meters high. The tower in Australia, 1,000 meters, 1 kilometer high. Okay. Now this tower is going to be built out of simple steel reinforced concrete. Its walls are going to be 25 centimeters thick. The base of this tower is going to range from 200 to 170 meters in its diameter, where they're going to throw all the turbines and all that, and it's going to curve up, and eventually it's going to even out to be 150 meters in diameter all the way up to the top. The canopy that will surround the base of the tower will be 5 kilometers in diameter. And altogether, this tower, when it's fully constructed at its peak output, is designed to produce 200 megawatts of power. That's enough power to power roughly 200,000 homes. And over a year's production, could produce 500 gigawatts of power. Great Scott. 1.2 gigawatts. Yeah, somebody out there feels me. Ooh. But okay. So we've got this neat tower. It works 24/7, 365. And the only real negative side to all this is that it costs a buttload of money to build, basically. There's a huge upfront cost. I think I've seen figures, they're all around $600 to $700 million that it's going to cost to build one of these things. And that's a lot of money. I don't foresee me building one anytime soon, I'll tell you that. And also, I mean, it's producing a lot of power, but at the same time, I believe I saw a figure, I'll link it, it'll be in one of the stories for the website, but they gave a number where yeah, just part of Australia, it was in Victoria, needed 7,672 megawatts of energy generation. So, if one of these towers is going to produce 200, you're going to have to build a whole lot of these suckers in order to start replacing one nuclear power plant, something like that. So that's kind of a downside, but at the same time, the solar towers aren't producing any pollution. They're not producing any nuclear waste that's going to exist for thousands of years. They don't really require a whole lot of maintenance. The solar tower can't overheat. It's not going to melt down. You're not going to have a solar chimney Chernobyl. So with these are positive outfits. And I think it would really, very seriously, be worth sitting down and considering weighing out the differences here. You know, would it be worth to just fork out a whole buttload of money right now in the short term to build a lot of clean energy design towers instead of in the long run having to maintain and care for large amounts of nuclear waste, which is hazardous and basically will just destroy any and everything around it and is toxic to all things on this planet? Why do we want to produce this? Okay, I'm not going to get into that rant. I feel me going that way. I'm out of beer. So I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to go get some more brewski. We're going to get a cigarette. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about more of the solar tower.
And I know what you're thinking. It comes as no surprise. Christmas lights are blinking.
Yeah, that song goes on for like another 14 hours, like 32 minutes and 18 seconds. It's like an operatic movement. The laser eyes, which drives my curiosity. Laser eyes. So, anyway, these solar towers are rather amazing if you think about the potential and the possibilities that is presented with these designs. Yes, they are expensive. I took a second to look compared to like a coal power plant. A coal power plant is going to cost around $400,000 or $400 million to build, as opposed to like $600 million for the solar tower. But the solar tower's not producing any pollution. Pretty neat. So what else can we do with the solar tower? We're hackers. Let's think about this. Okay, we're already taking three independent systems, the chimney, the greenhouse, and the windmill. We're wrapping them together and we're producing energy. What else can we throw into the system to maximize it? Well, let's think. The canopy is a greenhouse canopy. Well, can we grow underneath this canopy? Why, yes, indeed we can. It's been shown that 75% of the area underneath the canopy is suitable for growing and agricultural use. Excellent. So, in our 1 kilometer high tower situation, about 5 kilometer diameter canopy, we still have 3,750 meters, which are suitable land for our agricultural use. This is excellent. So what can we do with that? Well, if we needed food, we could grow food. So depending on our climate and our region, like if we were in the desert, okay, we'd have to pump in some water, okay? But other than that, we'd have a very sexy little oasis. As long as we could get water maintained there, maybe find an underground supply or built near an oasis enough to produce adequate water for the plants. That's very cool. But regardless, so we take our plants, we could be building, we could be growing crops, but if we don't need crops, we could also be growing plants that we could use for biodiesel energy. This is cool. So that's, if we're going to have to build, you know, like 14 of these plants to equal out one nuclear power plant, then cool, let's farm buttloads, acreage, of biodiesel underneath these little bastards and not use gasoline anymore. You know, let's convert to the Fry Daddy. Come on, y'all, what do you say? Alright, so there's also other possibilities here. Just brainstorming. Okay, the airflow is created from the hot air that rises. It's heated underneath the canopy. It flows. You know, what if we recycle a little bit of energy that was made in this process and maybe used like in a positive ion, like charged the ions in one direction of the air or something? Could we increase airflow this way as well? You know, that would be, I don't know, it's an idea. Also other things, okay, if we've got a water source that is near our massive solar tower, then we've also got the possibility of having the solar tower as a hydrogen creation station. And I think this is an awesome solution and an awesome comeback to all the people who... And let me preface this first by saying that I don't necessarily think hydrogen is the way we should be going for alternative fuel. Like, especially for gasoline. I mean, hydrogen's cool and all that. I mean, it's much safer than gasoline in the long run and all that. And I don't want to get into hydrogen because I can rant and ramble about hydrogen all day long. But regardless, everyone says, well, if you're going... In order to get hydrogen is good to use because it burns clean. When we would burn hydrogen in our cars, like opposed to gasoline, when we burn gasoline, it's going to produce carbon dioxide and pollution and greenhouse gases and all kinds of bad junk that's not good for us to breathe in or the environment around us to have being shot up into the air. But every day we fill up our cars with gasoline, we drive around, this is what we do. If we were using hydrogen, instead of putting off CO2, we'd be putting off water and fresh air. Damn. You know, that's pretty sexy. You know, that's not a bad idea. So, jumping back to the solar towers, if we have a solar tower that's built next to water, has a well, has a water system nearby, use your imagination. And we use the process of electrolysis. And electrolysis is basically the principle of taking a wire, a copper wire, sticking it in water, and running a current through the water. This is the electrolysis process, which separates the water, which is H2O, to hydrogen molecules and one oxygen molecule, and it separates them and produces hydrogen gas. You get enough hydrogen gas produced, you have liquid hydrogen. And suddenly we have a way to produce liquid hydrogen without the need for fossil fuels in order to create the hydrogen. Wow. There's an idea. Now, is this practical? Now, how much energy does it take to produce hydrogen? I don't know. But for $600 million, you can build a solar tower that, once you've built it, will just sit there and produce energy until it falls down, which won't be anytime soon. So, here's a possibility. Is it actually possible that we could see implementation of solar towers as liquid hydrogen producers as liquid hydrogen refineries, if you will. These big, massive solar towers and greenhouse canopies producing solar-made liquid hydrogen and naturally grown biodiesel or plants. This could be very cool. You know, is it possible to set up ass loads of these, you know, offshore, you know, and replace all the offshore oil rigs with offshore hydrogen producing stations? You know, I'd love to know if this is possible. If it were, this could have crazy, crazy implications. And for a large upfront investment, we could pretty much free ourselves from a lot of chains that we are currently imprisoned to. Mainly oil pollution, and a lot of the conflict that's going on in the Middle East. So, you know, depending on how feasible an idea using solar towers as hydrogen producing plants or power plants and stuff like that, you know, I wonder if somebody could produce figures, like numbers, like how many solar towers would we have to build to replace, you know, majority of the nuclear power plants, coal power plants, the major polluting power plants? How many of these suckers would we need to build to replace majority of the energy? Okay, we get this figure of how much it's going to cost. And then we break that down over to a certain year period over X amount of people. And you get your monthly bill, so to speak. And so follow me now. So what you would do is you would have people that would pay an upfront investment, say that, you know, the current generation or next 20, 40 years or whatever, you would have a monthly energy payment, you know, of X amount that would be the total payment cost of all these solar towers. And then in theory, once you paid off all these solar towers, you know, you would be borderline free energy or very cheap energy, because you'd have all these structures that you don't have to maintain. You don't need to mine a coal. You don't need to constantly cool, heat the reactor, and maintain, and it just sits there and produces energy. Wow. Okay. Another aspect of this. Okay, let's think about this from the hacker, nerd, geek philosophy. Okay, so if we're going to have, in order to logically replace nuclear power plants, coal power plants, we clearly have to build a lot of solar towers. So if we're going to have a lot of solar towers populating the landscape, what else could we do with these bastards to enhance our lives? Well, I know it's got to be screaming in some of y'all's head. Okay, if we've got a 1 kilometer high tower, how many antennas, dishes, etc. can we plaster on the side of this bastard? Okay? And so if we have our energy-producing solar tower in a rural area, out in the countryside, outside of the town, and on our solar tower, we have our dishes and our antennas, which could easily beam radio, television, cell phone, internet, Wi-Fi, WiMAX, whatever we're on, could beam all this information in from the tower into the town or surrounding areas. You know, think about if you build a tower in a rural area, then there's potentially a town, you know, somewhere 360 degree radius around the tower. There's going to be somewhere where you can mount some antennas and relay information in between these. And the main reason for me for wanting to put all these antennas and dishes on the tower, this is the power station. The power station which will never go down, which just sits there and creates power. So all these services that would be being beamed from the tower wouldn't most likely, very rarely, ever be interrupted. This is a cool idea. So as long as the receiver dishes, receiver antennas, etc. are in place, you have some way of being in line of sight of the antenna, however you're transmitting the beam from the tower to said point to receive that signal, you're always in some kind of communication. This is some cool idea, and you know, it's got a lot of it reminds me of Tesla and how Tesla wanted to build all these towers, but they weren't solar towers. They were if you guys are interested in Tesla, send me emails. I'll do a show about Tesla. If you don't know who Tesla was, send me some emails. I'll definitely do a show about Tesla. Nikola Tesla. He's one of the great pioneers of electricity. And a lot of what we have today wouldn't exist if it weren't for this man. So, anyway. Anyway, I think I've rambled on enough. Inspired by my laser-eyed curiosity. So we're gonna go ahead and cue up some project theme music and move on. You guys go to the website, check out the show notes, check out the links to the solar towers. I'll have links to the corporation that did the first tower in Manzanares, Spain. The company that's doing the tower in Australia, EnviroMission. There'll be links to all them, some of the news stories that I read, just some other random links about solar towers that I found. And please check this out. So, and with that, Ninja Assistants, if you will, hit me with some of that project theme music.
You play with it, and all that is good and nasty. Let it get you there. Swing in the woods upon a lawn. Sing on the trigger, my eyes gonna fall. My life's bad, bad. Gonna be a party every night.
Well, so what have I been up to in past week two? Well, I've been playing around with my new Linux box. Just a little, just here and there. Baby steps. Been doing a lot of reading here recently. I don't know, I've suddenly got into a big reading kick. Both, I guess it's laser-eyed inspired. I don't know, I guess a 14-hour operatic movement as such will inspire you. I don't know. But regardless, I have been doing a lot of reading, both in books, magazines, online, just a lot in general. And I'm going to be bringing this to the table, share it with everybody when I find interesting stuff like I did with the solar towers. Also, I've been been working on co-hosts for the show. Keep on talking. But I do have some friends that have some really cool and relevant stuff to talk about for the show. So if I can keep their asses from passing out and get them over here in front of the microphone, or while I've got the laptop, I can bring the microphone to them. They're willing to do it. It's just catching them. But people are quote-unquote excited about doing it, so we'll see what we can't do and see if we can't bring some other redneck voices into the dojo here. I also have recently, as just the week after Freaknik, Droops gave me a call and asked if I was interested in taking over admin responsibilities of the Podcast Incubator website. And seeing as how I have plenty of free time on my hands, I told him I would be more than happy to assist him in any way I could, and told him I hope I just don't muck it up. But nonetheless, that's why we always back everything up. So yours truly, Low Tech Mystic, is the new admin of Podcast Incubator. So if you are interested in doing your own radio show, whether it be tech related or not, if you need somebody to host your podcast so that you can do a commercial free podcast and do a podcast on your terms, how you want to do it, then you send an email to admin@podcastincubator.com. Go down to the Podcast Incubator website, www.podcastincubator.com. All the information's there. It's under the Contact Us tab. Send an email off to the admin. I'll get it. We'll get everything set up. And if you're interested in doing your own show the way you want to do it, commercial free, and you want to be the media, then hey, step forward and join us, because we all float down here. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, it was on TV the other day. Fifth, they got. Also, I'd like to mention, if you don't want the responsibilities or aren't interested in doing your own weekly, bi-weekly radio show, but you're interested in helping out the community and you'd like to do an episode or two, then contact Droops for his show, Twat Tech. You can go to his website over at twattech.org, and he's doing a daily radio show. He's looking for people to submit episodes. You can sign up as a host and do an episode like once every 2 months. I think that's what he's ideally, if he gets enough people to set up, do it. But anyway, go over there, check it out. He's got all the information. So if you'd like to contribute in one way or another, we're setting it up so that the opportunity's there. So if you want to do it, all you have to do is step forward and do it. So enough with that. And we'll close the project portion of the show for now and move on to the feedback section of the show. And for feedback this episode, we have no feedback this episode. So hey, send us some feedback, guys. If you're listening to the show, if you have any comments about what we're talking about, fire us off an email at nnsradio@walla.com. Walla is spelled W-A-L-L-A. We appreciate any comment that you had to send our way, good, bad, whatever. So with that, we'll go ahead and send out some shouts. As always, shouts to Droops for hosting the site and the show and doing what he does for the community. And thanks for all the good loving at Freaknik, buddy. Yeah, that's how I really got to be there. the secret story. We're saving that for the when they do the documentary, the podcast documentary. It's gonna be the secret dirt behind the information. Hacksaw Mob Boss Serious Troops and the Dirty Loving Half the Dude. The climb is dirty, right? Okay. Yeah, inebriation. But anyway, shouts to everybody I met at Freaknik. Shouts again to DOS Man. Sorry I spilled soda in the back of your vehicle. And shouts to anybody that's listening. And we here at the Ninja Night School Hidden Dojo of Knowledge would like to remind you that there is no binary for goodbye. Instead, we just use the loop. So, we'll see y'all around.
Silence contagious in moments like these. Superman strips my mind. happens contagious in moments like these. Consume me and strengthen my